Revelation chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 12 to verse 17. And to the angel of the church of Pergamon, write, these things says he who has the sharp sword with two edges. The sharp sword with two edges is the word of God. I know thy works, and where thou dwell, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against thee, because you hast there them who hold the doctrines of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which are the things which I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows except he that receive it, except he that receive it. Let's share a word of prayer. My Father in heaven, once again, I thank you so much for this opportunity. As empty vessel, set me aside, speak to me and through me to every heart and every mind ready to listen. Lord God, don't let these words be my words. Don't let your people hear my voice. Let them hear the voice of Jesus, that they can be revived by the voice of Jesus. Be with us throughout the whole night and prepare us for your soon second coming. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, we are having a look at the church in the courts of kings. The church in the courts of kings. How can the church of God be in the court of kings? The church of God stands alone. But how can it be in the court of kings? How can the church be on the same bed with the kings of the world? How can the church that proclaim the gospel and rebuke sin have the same table or sit at the same table of the kings of this world? The church in the court of kings. The witness, the faithful witness, Jesus Christ says that there's a sharp sword with two edges that is going to use to rebuke. When you read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says that, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Any two-edged sword means that the left or the right can cut. Every part of it can cut, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. When we talk about marrow, marrow is what you find in your bones. So he said that the word of God is so sharper and powerful, piercing through your bones and touching the marrows, and is discerner of thought and intent of the heart. Friends, no one knows your heart, and no one can predict what is in your heart. But the word of God knows what is in your heart. The word of God can discern my intent and my thought. At times, I may do something that the people around me may think, oh, he has done well. Oh, sister has done well. The elder has done well. The words are so powerful. But the intent behind the word, no one will know it except Christ Jesus. It means that the word of God knows the secret thoughts of mine, so as yours. It doesn't matter how people look at you. Yes, you can please people. Yes, you can do things that people will lift you up, they exalt you because of what you are doing. But the intent behind what you are doing, no one knows. But the word of God knows what is behind whatever action you put up. When you are singing and you are praising the Lord, if you are sincerely praising God, the word of God knows it. The Lord knows it. As congregation, as church members, no one may know why you are singing and laughing and jiggling like that. But I can tell you, you may hide it. You may fool us, but you can't fool the word of God, because he is a discerner of the thought, intent of the heart. He says, I know that word. Pastor, Jesus knows your words. Elder, Jesus, church members, Jesus knows your words. Congregation, Jesus knows your works. And not only that, he knows where you dwell. Jesus knows my postcode. He knows your postcode. He says that even where Satan dwells, why he's saying that, I know where you live. I know the influences surrounding where you live are all paganism. All the areas of your neighborhood, they are all pagans. I know where you live, but you have not forsaken my name. When we talk about Pergamum, the meaning of Pergamum is that it's exalted, something that is exalted. Pergamum means that the church was exalted. You may be exalted in the eyes of the world. You may be exalted in the eyes of men. But the question is, are you exalted in the eyes of your Maker? It doesn't matter how people embrace you. Doesn't matter how people exalt you. It doesn't matter the good things the society knows that the church is doing. It doesn't matter. What matters is how your Savior, your Maker, see you. You know, Pergamum was infested with pagan worship. Pergamos. The main religion over there was paganism. Everywhere that you went, you see a temple dedicated to a deity. And one of them is the serpent deity. The emblem of Asclepius or Asclepius. And it was worshipped as a god of healing. Today, is mingling with paganism. Every institution in this world has something from pagan quarters in it, including our health sector. The symbol of our health sector or our health system is a pagan, a snake coiling around the tree or a pole. Jesus said, I know where the church lives. I know the world that you live in. Everywhere, as pagan, as orientation of paganism, everywhere that you go, you see a sign of paganism. Even in your neighborhood, you have wizards and witches. But God says that I know you. I know where you dwell. And despite all the circumstances, despite all the bad influences, despite all that you are going through at workplaces, despite whatever it is, you still hold fast unto my name. Even the Adventists who were with the company and they were being promoted, and part of the promotion says that they should go and jump over fire. And we know this is a pagan worship. These gentlemen decided not to engage themselves in that idol worship. And therefore, the promotion did not come onto their side. Friends, promotion comes from above. Whatever work you are doing, never fight for any promotion. Or you never know where the promotion will lead you. Promotion comes from above. When the Lord wants to bless you, he needs no permission from anybody. When the Lord wants to bless you, no one can counsel the Lord not to bless you. For whatever he does it for himself and by himself. Christ says that, I know your works. I know where you dwell. Even you dwell in the place where Satan dwells, where Satan's seat is. It means that the entire system, the entire vicinity is in the hands of Satan. But that's where you dwell. But yet, he knows your hard work, your faithfulness, your dedication, your commitment. And when you are like that, the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. He says, I know you, that you hold fast to my name and has not denied my faith. Have you denied the faith of God? Have you still with God? Or are you holding fast unto your God? Holding fast means that you still worship the Lord from your heart. You still worship the Lord from a sincere and contrite spirit. Because you have never denied the faith of Jesus. John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. When Jesus had a dialogue with that woman, the Samaritan woman, Jesus said that, but the hour is coming. And now is when the true worshipers, listen carefully. It's not everybody who says he's worshiping God do worship in truth and also in spirit. That the true worshipers shall worship the Father in the spirit and also in truth. Today we have false worshipers. People who think and presume and assume they are worshiping the God of creation. The Bible says that we got true worshipers, which means that we have false worshipers. Whom do you worship? Some of us, we worship our wives. Some of us, we worship our husbands. Some of us, we worship our about moons and suns. If you want to worship a star, look for the Son of God and worship him. There are false worshipers in Christianity. People who claim to be the children of the Most High God, but they do worship something else. For the Father seeks such to worship him. You know what? That's one thing I've learned about God and his worship. If I want to worship the Lord aright, then I have to follow suit what he's saying. You cannot say, I want to worship the Lord, but this is how I want to worship him. You can't do that. That would be a false worship. If you want to worship God, then listen to what God, the Lord says and work with it. False worshipers are abound. False worshipers are everywhere. False worshipers are in the church. False worshipers are Christians. But the Lord says that the time has come for the true worshipers to worship the Lord, the Father, in the spirit and also in truth. Remember the book of Genesis chapter 4. There were two worshippers. There were two worshippers, Cain and Abel. Abel decided to tell God, God, I want to worship you. But this is how I think if I worship you, you will love. This is the way I think it's better. I worship you. But Abel said, no, Lord, I want to worship you. But I want to worship you the way you want me to worship you. And the end result, the Lord accepted the sacrifice, the worship of Abel, but he did not look on him with favor, the worship of Cain. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and also in truth. If you want to worship the Lord, church, we need to worship him according to his dictates, not according to our how we feel, not according to how people look at the whole system, but according to how the Lord looks at the system. The Lord has got principles and the way we should approach him. The moment we neglect that, our worship becomes false worship. Our worship becomes false worship. It doesn't matter who is leading. It can be a pastor. It can be an elder. It can be a bishop. The moment we neglect the principles of worship of God, whatever we else that we do become false worship. Despite the praise that the faithful witness has given to the church of Pergamum, he says, but it, although you have been worshiping me aright, although you have been doing things for me, yes, although you pay your tithe and your offering, yes, although you have dedicated yourself to me, but still I have something against you. I got few things. Pastor, I got few things against you. Sister, I've got few things against you. Elder, there are a few things that I have got against you. Church, I have a few things against you. And what are the things that the Lord has against us? He says, despite all that you are doing, despite your effort, despite the fact that you have not denied my name, you still have dare them who hold the doctrine, hey, of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam, what is that? And who is Balaam? And what is the doctrine of Balaam? Numbers chapter 25, chapter 22 to chapter 25, gives us a very brilliant story of a prophet of God, a man of God. His name is Balaam. This man of God wasn't a Hebrew. He wasn't part of the Israelites. But he was a descendant of Midianite. And he was a man of God. He was a prophet. This man used to have visions of the Most High God. The Lord spoke to him in dreams and in visions. He was a man of God because he was a mouthpiece of God. He was a man of God because God used to speak to him, to the nations surrounding him. He was a man of God. But what happened? When the Israelites came to the borders of Moab, the king of Moab, who was a pagan king, decided to go and consult this man of God. He went to this man of God with gifts, with the promises, with the gold, with diamond, with the prominency, with honor, to come and care the people of God. Take it this carefully, is this serious? A man of God being bribed by a pagan king to come and curse the people of God. Hey, you see, this man of God saddled his donkey. And as he was coming, God wasn't pleased with him. We should be very careful as Christians, as people of God, that pagans will not infiltrate us as if they are part of us. As if we are struggling towards a common goal. This man of God, God spoke to him, never go with them. But because he was convinced with the bribes and the money involved, he did everything he could. And the Lord said, okay, if that's what you have to do, go. But remember, when you go, make sure you say what I tell you. So when this man of God, Balaam, the prophet of God, got to Balak, Moab, friends, according to Bible, whatever prophecy he gave, instead of cursing the people of God, he blessed them. Friends, if anyone has raised his or her mouth against you to curse you, those curses, because of the power of God, will turn into your blessing. The caveat is that if we look unto Jesus, all the curses will turn into blessing. All the enemy surrounding us, wanting our dismay, wanting us not to exist, when they curse, the Lord God will turn their curses into blessing. So Bible says that the man of God cursed Israel 3 or 4 consecutive times. But all this time, when he opens his mouth, he pronounced blessings upon the people of Israel. At the end of it all, he consulted an evil spirit. Listen, never compromise. If you try to compromise, at the end of the day, you will consult an evil spirit. Doesn't matter you are Seventh-day Adventist Christians. God knows Seventh-day Adventist Christians, which are wizards and witches and wizards. It happened. If you try to compromise your faith, friends, it will lead you somewhere that you have never thought of, that you will go. Stand on your grounds. Call sin by its right name. Don't pamper sin. Get rid of sin. As sin will lead you, you better kill sin out of your life, or sin will kill you. It is two opposite things. Either you kill sin out of you, or sin will kill you. Never compromise. The man of God compromised because of the gift, because of the honor, because of exhortation from a pagan king. As a church, are you being compromised? Cast your mind back In those days when you were young, in those days when you were growing in the church, what did you see? Do you see the same thing in the church? Or is it anything that you think the church is compromising? Then I would like to tell you, we are treading on a dreadful waters. We are treading on a very serious and dangerous waters, grounds. And it's about time you and me take decision for ourselves and for Christ. Never compromise. Spirit of compromise is everywhere in the church. In the Pergamum, the church receives praise and honor. It was exalted. Imagine one day the Queen of England decide to come to Belfast Central and watch us. What will happen to the church? We shall all be happy. And whatever she tells us, we will do it. But I would like to open your eyes to see that the world that we live in, there's a lot of things that we see around that have their source of power behind the curtain that we don't see. So don't, never get yourself into anything, but stand firm for the Lord Jesus, and he will raise you up. If he see fit to exalt you, he will do that. It's better you receive the honor of God than to receive the praises of this world. Moral laxity had crept into the church. Now everybody can do whatever she or he likes. People may be chasing other people's wife. Others may be chasing other people's husbands. A lot of things are going on in the church. I don't know much about Belfast Central now, but I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. A lot of issues have come that we have dealt with between brothers and sisters in the same church, following somebody's husband and wife. Where can he lead you to? You are compromising your faith. The Lord said, look unto me and be saved. Moral laxity is the order of the day of our church, because no one cares to rebuke his sin and call sin by his right name. Bible says that fornication is fornication. It's not courtship. Fornication is fornication. If you are not married and you are sleeping with a man or a woman, it's fornication. It's not courtship. Understand that. It's clear. It's fornication. Let's call sin by his right name. Don't let's quen any beautiful and beautify that sin. When we do that, we are compromising. And when we do that, the Lord will never pour his spirit upon us. Let's call sin by his right name. If you have a wife or a husband, but you are having affairs somewhere else, it's adultery. It's a sin. Somebody who's a homosexual, it's a sin. Let's call it by his right name. Don't let's polish it and give it a very beautiful sugar-coated word. Oh, this is my fiancé. No, 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 no. Bible says that if you haven't married, abstain. But if you are not married and you are engaging in sexual practices, it's all on to you. You are compromising your faith. There's a compromise between the paganism and Christianity. You know what? Our world that we live in is full of paganism. It's full of idols. UN is full of idols. Every organization in this world is full of pagan. I know some of the Adventists who celebrate Halloween. Our children, at times say, oh, no, 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 we don't celebrate this. But our children, we buy this for our children. We buy that, pop, whatever you call it, pumpkin or whatever it is, for your kids. You know, these are festivals of the dead, festivals of witches. And Christians are engaging in it. The actual name of Halloween is the pronoun sowin, sowin. The actual name is Samhain. I don't know how to pronounce it, but they said this is how they pronounce it, sowin. But Christians has coined it very beautifully. Halloween, so nice. Halloween is so good to hear, but it's a paganism. Our world is full of paganism. We have compromised what we and we are doing these things. But Lord says that if you want to worship me aright. Worship me how I want to worship you, how I want to be worshipped. Not how you think you can worship me. Never think that you want to celebrate these festivals to praise God. God will never be happy with it. Whatever God has not asked us to do, let's refrain from it. It doesn't matter how the world look at it and says that, oh, this thing will praise God. We are doing this to praise God. We are doing that to praise Satan, the evil one, not God. Don't forget that in heaven, the devil wanted to receive the praise and worship due to God. So he has come on this planet to do every possible thing to receive this worship from humans. Never give chance to the enemy. Christians these days consult Zodiac to look into their lucky stars. It's paganism. If you are practicing that, it's a paganism. When I was uni in London, South Bank University, there were a lot of African students whom we studied together. Some of them were Asians, some of them from this country. And all the time, the Freemasons and the Illuminati were there to employ this or recruit these people, these young ones. So brilliant they were. They were being recruited into Freemasonry to Illuminati. Most of them were Christians. They promised them with all kinds of material things, with cars, big cars, houses, good employment. Are we compromising, or have we compromised? A stumbling block before the children of Israel. What is a stumbling block? Most of us, we are a stumbling block before the people of God. What is a stumbling block? Is it a big word? Let's dissect it and see what it means. A stumbling block is a circumstance that causes difficulty. A stumbling block is a circumstance that causes difficulty for someone to worship God. So if I'm a stumbling block, if I'm standing in the way of people to know who the true God is, Bible says that I am a stumbling block. I don't allow people to see who the true God is. I call myself a Christian, but I do something else. And people is not able to differentiate my attitude, the way I lead my life from those who are not Christians. In Matthew 18, verse 6, Jesus said that, but those who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it will be better for them or for him that a milestone, a big stone around your neck and being put in the sea, you'll be drawn. And Jesus is saying that if I, the pastor, if you, church member, if you are a stumbling block for somebody to see Christ, it will be better for you even if you are dead. Christ will not take it easy. One of the things that we have in this world also is to syncretism. Syncretism is the way that we have mingled Christianity or the worship of the Most High God with other things. We live in a society that everything must go. Everything is welcome. Everything is okay. Truth is relative, but there's only one truth that can save. Jesus Christ says that I am the way, the truth. No one goes to the Father except through me, the way. You can't go through to salvation to God through Muhammad. You can't go through Shintoism. You can't go to anywhere. Only through Christ Jesus. But we live in a world that everything is okay. But God says that it's not everything which is okay. To the law and the testimonies, if they do not speak according to that, it is because there's no light in them. Most of us, we have that we rely upon. I come from Africa, and African Christianity is such that people may be in the church of God, but they have their own spiritual fathers somewhere or mothers somewhere that they consult in times of sickness, in times of trouble. But they are Christians. That's not the Christianity, the type of Christianity the Lord wants us to mingle with. If you worship the true God, be focused on Him and never look right or left. Put your gaze, fix your gaze on Christ Jesus alone. And He alone should be your Savior. Syncretism is everywhere in the church, a mixture. Of wrong and right. Compromise is everywhere. A time will come, we are going to get our elders and pastors. Perhaps even we have them in the church. I'm talking about the wider church. Who are acting, they are people of God. Yes, they are. Like Balaam. And because of some profit that they will gain, they are in the church and confusing the people of God. Putting things in the minds of people. The things that we knew are wrong. Now they are okay in the church. Why? Because knowledge has increased. Knowledge has increased. In those days, they did not have knowledge. But now, because of education, our knowledge has increased. And therefore, we everything into the church. But let me tell you, knowledge without God is a curse. Knowledge without God, Christ Jesus, is a curse. I can acquire all the knowledge in the world. I can acquire all the wisdom to do everything in the world. But if this wisdom and knowledge is outside Christ Jesus, it's a curse to me and also to humanity. Is a curse to the church and also to humanity. He also said that the church has those who hold fast to the doctrine of Nicolaitans. When we were dealing with the church of Ephesus, we came across these people. And the Bible says that Ephesus, the first church, hated the deeds of Nicolaitans. But this particular church, the church in the court of kings, the compromised church, the church in Pergamum, they love the deeds of Nicolaitans. Have you seen the sharp difference? Something and first surprised at New Bold. All along, I had in mind that Seventh-day Adventists don't take in coffee. But my first time I got New Bold, there was a coffee machine, and people were buying coffees and drinking them. We talk about this and we are laughing about it. Wow. This thing we knew, in initial, we said it wasn't good. We're taking coffee. But now, even in a seminar, there's a coffee machine. And most people were not happy with it. I have visited Seventh-day Adventist Christians, and they forgot themselves, giving me some drink to welcome me. They gave me alcoholic drink. Seventh-day Adventists. Seventh-day Adventist friends. You know what you are drinking in your house. You know what you have put in your fridge. You know it. I don't have to tell you. But Christ says that I hate the deeds of Nicolaitans. But now the church loves the deeds of Nicolaitans. Those hate it. No, Christ hate it. The word is repent. You see, when Christ wants to save me and you, he always asks me to repent or ask you to repent. Else, repent shows the love of God that he wants to save you. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against you or them with the sword of my mouth. Praise be to God. The word of God will always triumphant. The word of God will always go forth victoriously. We have to align ourselves to the word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says that it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the Lord God Almighty. Friends, it is a fearful thing. If you don't know, I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. It says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the Lord God Almighty. What does it mean? It means that when I sin against you, or you sin against me, and even I say I won't forgive you, Christ will forgive you. That's what it means. But when you sin against God, who will forgive you? Tell me. When we sin against each other, and we are so stubborn not to forgive each other, and we cry unto the Savior, he will forgive us. But when we sin against him and tell him to his face that we don't want to hear anything from him, who will plead for you, for your cause? So he says that, repent, else he will come. There's not any other person. It's the same Christ Jesus who died for you. The same Christ Jesus who suffered and bled for you. It's the same Christ Jesus who has redeemed you by his blood. He says that, repent, else I will come quickly and fight against you. And if your creator is fighting against you, where will you be? Where will be your stand? Where will be your stand? To him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. Oh, this is what my heart and my soul desire, to eat the hidden manna, the bread of life, the bread of life. That's the hidden manna. Christ promises us that he is going to give us the bread of life to eat, that we shall never go hungry. The bread of life, the more you eat, the more you have eternal life. So, friends, I recommend this bread of life to you. Let Christ give it to you to eat, and you shall never die. Even when you die, he will resurrect you back to life. He who overcome, to him I will give a white stone, and in the stone a new name is written, which no man knows, except or saving he that receive it. What is your name, sister, brother? What is your name? You have been named after someone else. Somebody's name has been given unto you. I was named after my father, and also my grandfather. Samson is a biblical name. We know who he's called Samson in the Bible. Osei is my father's name. Abuaji is my father's name. So I have been named after peoples who are before me. But Christ says that if I'm able to overcome, he's going to give me a name that no one knows. If you are able to overcome, Christ is going to give you a new name. And that name is written not on paper, but on stone. Remember, God gave the Ten Commandments on stone. Who tells me that my name is going to be permanent? The name that you have today is not your real name. If you want to know your real name, try as much as possible to get to that new Jerusalem. For there, you have your new name, your real name that God has prepared for you. Friends, wherever you are hearing my voice, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube, whether you're on Zoom at the moment, I would like to encourage you. Christ wants to save you and to give you a new name. Whatever weakness is here to support you to overcome it. It is only when you are sincere and open your heart, then he can do justice to your situation. He wants to save me and he wants to save you. I'm the first person, the worst sinner, that I pray that the Lord will have mercy upon me. I deserve no mercy. So I ask him to have mercy upon me, to sanctify me from the heart, from my mind, that people will see that I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of God. May the Lord bless you as you receive his word and contemplate upon them, to amend your ways and right the wrongs in your life. If there's anything that you are harboring in your heart, if you are bearing any grudges against anybody, the Spirit cannot work with you. So please let it go. Let it go. And the Lord will be with you. The Lord bless us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.